I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Oh, what's going on? Happy Super Bowl week to you. Hope you had a great weekend. Appreciate you hanging out with us. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. If you are in the part of the country that is just getting inundated with snow, be careful, be safe. If, like me, you're on the West Coast where it's 62, you can offer your apologies to our Eastern Coast brothers and sisters. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number here on the program. 855-212-4CBS. Give us a call. Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Steve Berline will be on the show. CBS Sports NFL analyst, longtime NFL quarterback. We'll do buy or sell, as we always do. Andrew Bogish is going to be on the program to give us an update about 30 minutes, at which point I'll probably offer an apology to WandaVision, sort of, with an asterisk. And as always, Tom DiBenedetto, producer underscore Tom, is the man behind the board. Apology is a strong word. The possibility of an apology coming is probably more accurate. But we got some big news to get to, and it will dominate certainly the first hour, maybe the entirety of the show, and it will reshape the National Football League, not just in Detroit and here in L.A., but the market for quarterbacks to come. The news that came down over the weekend, and it is a shocker. It's a big boy trade. Matthew Stafford, veteran quarterback of the Detroit Lions, who has a number of NFL history records for accomplishments in the regular season without a postseason victory, is going to have a much bigger chance if he goes to the Rams. Here's the trade. Here's the haul that Detroit gets. And there's a lot to unpack here. Stafford goes to the Rams to try and reinvigorate Sean McVay's offense, to try and put the shine, and if it is real, the truth behind the genius label that we threw McVay's way so early in his career with Jared Goff as his quarterback. Stafford goes to LA for Jared Goff, two first-round picks, and a third-round pick. That is a haul. And the details are more or less this. Stafford's got 2 years left on his deal. Veteran quarterback. I'll say this, though. Yes, veteran QB. Concerns that he's breaking down a little bit. But as somebody pointed out on Twitter, and our friend Dan Orlovsky replied to with the word warrior, from 2011 to 2018... Stafford has injured his back, his right hand, his left hand, his ankle, his quadriceps, his ribs, his right upper arm, his hip, his right finger, and over the course of that stretch, he's played 131 of 131 games with those particular injuries. And don't sleep on Jared Goff either. Playing through the thumb injury, popping it back into the game, having surgery, getting back out there. Goff has just signed that long-term deal, but that fairly cumbersome contract for an uncertain quarterback has an out of sorts in 2 years. That is least problematic for now the Lions. You know, on the face of it, I really like the trade for both teams. And I think that there's clear risks for each team. Not just for Detroit. I actually like it for Detroit more than I like it for the Rams. Here in L.A., you have a Rams organization. Les Snead, the GM, and Sean McVay, the head coach, had already made a decision before this trade that they were, and they have, sold away the future for the now. They believed post-Super Bowl, when they lost to the Patriots, that they had their window now. And with this trade, they've just doubled down on that reality. They've either understood that the investment that they made can still pay off and it's going to come to fruition, or they're throwing good money after bad. We're going to find out. They don't have a first-round pick until, I think it's 3033. I think it's 192 years from now they'll have a first-round pick. But they do have a quarterback who has thrown for 45,000 passing yards in his career, almost 300 touchdowns, has 74 wins as a starter in this league. Last year, you know, was good, was fine, was okay. 26 touchdowns, 10 interceptions versus 20-13 for Goff. Now, Goff had a fairly paltry 7.2 yards per attempt. Stafford, 7.7. Stafford didn't have a career year. He also was miserable, and that was a miserable football team for 3 years under Matt Patricia. And we'll get later into the program but another sort of side report of this, that the one place reportedly Matt Stafford didn't want to go was the New England Patriots. It's all interesting. It's all fascinating. And for Detroit, they know where they are in the position that they're in. It is a straight-up rebuild. And there's a lot of factors that will come into play as to whether or not it's successful. But it wasn't going to be a process. We knew this a week or so ago that was going to include Matt Stafford. Knowing that you had to trade Stafford, and one of the conversations that were out there, one of the debates in the NFL that made its way to fans and sports talk radio, was whether or not Stafford did the Lions dirty by allowing it to be public that he wanted out. Sure doesn't feel like the price got driven down to me. Two firsts and a third for a very talented quarterback, maybe a great quarterback in the right system, who physically does not look like the guy that he was even 2 or 3 years ago. And despite what we've seen from Tom Brady, is at an age where you at least have to worry about the fact that he's in his 30s. That used to be an actual thing. That's a nice return. Is Dan Campbell the person to make good on that as a coach? I don't know. We're going to find out. Is Brad Holmes, who's the director of scouting for the Rams, the GM that you trust to make those decisions? I don't know. We're going to find out. You know, there's a couple interesting points if you dive into that reality. One is that Jared Goff has been two distinctly different players. Go back to that Chiefs game, 55-51, whatever it was. Is that last year? 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. And that is the inflection point. That is the turning point in Jared Goff's career, more than the Super Bowl. Pre-Chiefs game, including the Chiefs game, Goff was a machine. 54 touchdowns to 13 interceptions with Sean McVay as head coach. Let's just take the Jeff Fisher years and treat him like that girlfriend you pretend didn't exist. We all have one. It's okay for me. Her name was Billy. So that was should have been a pretty big clue. Let's move. Put in that. Yeah, it's awful, Tom. Putting that aside, but I was 16. Putting that aside, don't laugh like that. Putting that aside, during that run, Goff had 54 touchdowns to 13 picks, completed two-thirds of his passes, and most importantly, yards per attempt, just about 8.6. He was really good. Post that Chiefs game, 48 touchdowns to 35 interceptions, and everything else, all those stats I gave you dropped, as did his effectiveness. And that coincided with the fact that there was basically no Todd Gurley. 18 games with Gurley over that bad second half of that stretch. Only one after that Chiefs game where Gurley ran for 100 yards. But the Rams invested a pretty serious amount of draft capital in trying to bring in some of those running backs to replace Gurley. And who was the guy that was the director of college scouting over that stretch? The guy that's now in charge in Detroit, Brad Holmes. And it also brings us to the fact that I'm always fascinated by the internal deliberations and disagreements of talent. You start to see who the actual star of this situation was. And I'll go back to Old Faithful for me. Matt Cassel was celebrated when he stepped in for Tom Brady. Matt Cassel was traded to the Kansas City Chiefs in a very similar situation where the former number two behind Bill Belichick in terms of player personnel, Scott Pioli, clearly had a disagreement with his head coach about the value of that guy. Pioli was wrong. As he tends to be, Belichick was right, and the Chiefs paid the price for many years. Les Snead doesn't think Jared Goff is the quarterback. And by the way, made that clear in a public and disrespectful way that was unnecessary. Sean McVay clearly did not think Jared Goff was the quarterback. Made that clear in a public and disrespectful way that was not necessary. This ain't about being a nice guy. It's not about your feelings. It's about winning football games. And Goff has been a pro in the face of what's been a pretty ugly situation. Mike Silver over at NFL.com had a pretty good story about Goff's reaction. And the very brief McVay, give McVay credit, called Goff himself, said he'd been traded. And the reading of the story is Goff said, okay, I got to go, bro. I got my dad on the other line. Okay, cool. Thank you. Respectful, but it's over. But at least McVay didn't, you know, break up with him, and I guess in a text message. Is Brad Holmes the right evaluator? Forget the Goff thing for a second. Brad Holmes got a 5-year deal to be the GM of the Detroit Lions based on his ability to scout college talent for the Los Angeles Rams. Is Brad Holmes, because none of this matters if they don't draft the right players, if they can't, just because you go through a rebuild doesn't mean you do it successfully. You have to draft the right football players. That is the cornerstone of a turnaround. Is Brad Holmes the guy? Well, we're going to know him whether or not Jared Goff is. Because if Brad Holmes can't evaluate Jared Goff properly, having been in that organization, if he gets that one wrong, how do you trust him to make a call on some kid from Alabama or LSU or Michigan in the third or second or first or fifth or seventh round when he's got limited data and the same data as everybody else? I love the trade for Detroit. I love it. And I guess I should be fair. Goff doesn't have to be remarkable. He just has to be serviceable. I understand there's a calculated risk here. That part of the reason that you get this haul, in part, is you take on that Goff contract. And it makes sense for an organization like Detroit that nobody expects to be competitive over the next couple years. Or expect is wrong. That is not the requirement. Progress is the requirement. Dan Campbell looking like he knows what he's doing is a requirement. A culture that is turning things around is a requirement. In a lot of ways, the Dolphins are a model for what you want to see in Detroit if you're a Lions fan. Maybe you have a bad year next year. I think you will. But you want to see a team that fights for every single minute and every single second of football, regardless of the fact if you have 2 wins, week 7 or not. You want to see, at least as it relates to Goff, a competent offensive exercise when he's out there, even if he's not the future. That shows you the offensive coordinator, Anthony Lynn, and the head coach, Dan Campbell, and the organization have a vision that can be implemented when they get the right guy. And you want to see some of the players, and again, when you go through a draft, you can't evaluate that night, and you can't even evaluate after the first season, but you want to see some of the players that Brad Holmes drafts at this upcoming draft looking like at least that they're going to have an impact in the years ahead. But I like the pick for Detroit. We're not going to know if this trade is a winner for the Lions for a few years. And if you're in Detroit, and I'm from near there, I'm from Iowa, a bunch of my friends from Detroit, Michigan, it's been a really brutal slog. And not just ugly in the sense that you haven't had success, that you've had disappointment, but you've had disappointment with massively talented people. I mean, you can go back to Barry Sanders, you can go back to Megatron, you can go back to Matt Stafford. I mean, the first two guys basically retired early rather than play for that organization. And Matt Stafford forced his way out after if his career ended now, right? Injury or just, I'm tired. This is a strong, nice career, not a Hall of Fame. Knight had a good career, had a good run, really good run in the National Football League. That's not a lot of, and then you had the Matt Patricia thing. Not a lot of reasons to feel good about it. That's the kind of organization that can't do a rebuild, a reset, piecemeal. There is no patch to the future. You have to tear it down. You have to rebuild it. The culture, the people involved, the quarterback included. I love it for Detroit. We'll see what they do. For the Rams, it's really interesting. I don't hate it. I like it. I like it. I think I said I like it for both. I don't love it. I think the most interesting thing is that it is going to be just like I think the Detroit side of this trade is going to reflect on Brad Holmes, the GM. You came from that organization. You got to know golf, and you got to be good at drafting players because you're committing to a rebuild. Obviously, it's why the Lions hired the guy. They liked his ability to evaluate talent in the draft as the primary reason he got the job. Les Snead has a tendency to skate the GM with the Rams. He's Teflon. Reminds me of Bill Clinton, that SNL skit after the impeachment. I think it was Daryl Hannah after the impeachment trial. I am bulletproof. Les Snead is bulletproof. Shouldn't be, but is. I think the onus on this is going to fall on Sean McVay. You have the quarterback that you want. You got rid of the quarterback that you didn't. And as much as we have labeled McVay a genius, and I have too, as much as we saw McVay's team make a run to that Super Bowl, and that's supposed to in some ways be a surety of his excellence, I'll just remind myself and you, thank you for listening here, Doug Peterson made a Super Bowl and actually won it. It's an accomplishment. But it's not the end game. Not even winning one. If your notion, if your idea, if your goal, if you're driven to be great again and again and again. And we've seen a lot of head coaches, Doug Peterson, I think, is on this list, Matt Nagy, I think, is on this list, who have been styled or styled themselves as offensive gurus, who have taken questionable quarterbacks, quarterbacks drafted number one or number two, and have a lot of pressure, and help them find the best version of themselves, only to hold on so tightly, to be such a control freak, that it suffocates that QB's self-confidence and ability to succeed. It's been true with Trubisky. It's been true with Wentz. The degree to which you blame the quarterback versus the coach in those comparisons is still to be determined. And I think that same thing is true now with Sean McVay. Because if Matt Stafford comes in and he's healthy and it doesn't work and the guy turns the ball over too many times or the offense is too conservative, if it turns out that when you don't have Todd Gurley, it's hard to beat Gurley at his greatness, a genius head coach, that's going to reflect on Sean McVay. It's a really interesting evaluation of that head coach. It's a bold move, Cotton, if you will. I think it's going to work. I think Sean McVay is great. But we're going to find out. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how good you are at your job, there's a fine line between knowing what you know and what other people don't and arrogance. And the Rams didn't think they needed Gurley. They thought they'd already replaced him, Cam Akers and others. And they moved on. And things have not been the same since then. Matt Stafford is the answer. It's because the Rams have known what they've been doing and they've just been looking for the right guy. If he's not, there is no answer because there are no draft picks in the first round for many, many years. And it will turn out Sean McVay's not as smart as he thinks he is. And Les Snead, Teflon or otherwise, doesn't know what he's doing, ironically, without Brad Holmes, the guy who just took Jared Goff. 855-212-4CBS. You tell me. It's such an interesting... By the way, we'll get into this in about 20 minutes. Just the price for Deshaun Watson is going to go through the freaking roof. Through the roof. One of the side notes is that the Rams, let it be known through some reporters, it was reported, that the Rams also pursued Deshaun Watson, but he was out of their price range. They gave up two firsts and a third in Goff. 855-212-4CBS. Take some phone calls and keep talking about a blockbuster trade next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. One of the most interesting things about this trade, right? We is the unknowns of Matt Stafford in the postseason. You say what you want about Jared Goff. I've seen that guy have big games and big moments. And Goff is a bit of a mystery in a different sense because he'll vanish. He'll have terrible games. He'll look awful. He also had some great. You go back and look this year against the Bills. There were three or four games where he played really well this season. And in the postseason, we've seen him be good enough to get the Rams to a Super Bowl. The other things around him notwithstanding. We don't know what Matt Stafford is in the playoffs. And by we don't know, I mean we have no idea. He's never won a playoff game. Now, he's also never been on a team worthy of a playoff win for the most part of his career. And Stafford may be a more talented version, I'm talking about in the playoffs, of Kirk Cousins. And when he's in the right situation, he may be a stone-cold winner. There are plenty of people over a multitude of careers who late in their careers or later in their lives have gotten finally an opportunity, the right culture, their shot, and have seized it and taken advantage of it in a huge way. We don't know. It's a really interesting question mark for Matt Stafford. It's also fascinating if it's true, and I think it probably is, if truly Stafford said to Detroit, you can trade me to any NFL team, any of the teams in the NFL, except for the New England Patriots. I mean, it is like, it's almost too good to be totally true. My gut is it was more, hey, Matt, here are the 11 teams or the 15 teams or the 9 teams that we're talking to. And he said, you know, I by all means pursue those, but I'm not going to agree to be traded to New England of those teams. Matt Patricia was there. He was not a beloved figure, to say the least, in that Lions locker room. And it's freezing cold in Foxborough, and Stafford spent his entire career playing inside and playing in temperate spots for the most part. And there's absolutely no one to throw the football to, and it's a rebuild New England. But it is still an amazing testament to how the mighty have fallen, and just in the eyes of people around the National Football League. Also, there are several former Patriots that are on that Detroit team, so I'm sure that they gave Stafford an earful. It's one thing to work all the time, never have a day off, extra hours. You better be in there. You better work constantly. And don't even though he's lazy. Most people work, you know, 40 hours. Say they work 40 hours a week and work 35. I know a couple people that do that and work 4. I don't know how they're pulling that off. But most people work 40-ish hours a week, right? As a guy that's worked 70 or 80 hours a week, actually 70 or 80 hours a week, you feel real good about, I work hard for about 4 days. And you're like, what? I'm an idiot. Why am I doing this? So I understand why Stafford wouldn't want to put in the football equivalent if he doesn't feel like there's going to be a return. It may be absolutely fascinating how this thing goes. And again, I think that there's a lot of people who are going to be evaluated in a really interesting way over the next few years. I think Jared Goff and Matt Stafford, of course. I think Campbell and Anthony Lynn is the offensive coordinator coming off his lack of success as a head coach with the Chargers. Now that they have Goff as it's like Goff Reclamation Project Part 2. I think it's a really interesting evaluation of Brad Holmes. Again, the GM in Detroit was a top player personnel guy with the Rams. He saw Goff up close. He's aware of Goff as a leader, as a culture guy, strengths, weaknesses. He's the one that pulled the trigger on this. And he got hired for a rebuild. So Goff plus all these picks that he just got are going to equal an evaluation of him. But I think the main person, the primary weight that this falls to in terms of who has to carry this and show what they are, and it'll happen immediately, is Sean McVay. Matt Stafford gets hurt and only plays half the year? I don't want to hear it. That's a decision that organization made. And let's need the GM too. Stafford doesn't fit into the system right away and it takes an adjustment. He's not Tom Brady. I don't want to hear it. The moment is now for the Rams. They've traded away every first round pick until my daughter is in college. God help me. There is no, well, it'll take some time. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Let's go to Jacksonville. Gary, what up, buddy? Appreciate you, pal. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
How are you doing today, Bill?
I'm good, dude. What's shaking?
All right. I guess it's not snowing out there, at least where you are. Right?
It's
LA,
not.
Right?
It's 60. It's real nice.
No snow here in Florida either. Yeah, you remember I talked about maybe the Dolphins exploring the Stafford trade, but not at that price. I was absolutely floored when I heard what the Rams gave up to get Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I think it's Gary. I think it's opportunity plus desperation equals let's go for it. As a guy that spent a lot of his time, and appreciate you, Gary, and I appreciate the little shout out to the weather because Andrew Bogish made a face with his face. He made a face with his face. Talk for a living. That would scare a child and break a mirror of pain, of just physical pain. We'll get a little weather report from him in a second. There's a desperation to the Rams, and desperation is not always a bad thing, by the way. Tampa Bay had a level of desperation to finally get over that hump. And they went out and they sold Tom Brady, and now they're in a Super Bowl. A little desperation, a little boldness, a little risk goes a long ways if you make the right risk and the boldness pays off. Maybe it'll work for the Rams. Actually, you know, looking back, were a perfect landing spot to pay, overpay, whatever you want to call it. It's overpay for Matt Stafford because between Jalen Ramsey, the contract that they gave Goff, which is hard to unload, the people they brought in, the fact they have Aaron Donald. I mean, there's a window here, but that window's not 3 years from now. It's today. If the Rams don't win a Super Bowl or make a Super Bowl, certainly in the next 2 years, it is a failure for Sean McVay and Les Snead. And the reality of everything in life and business, certainly in the National Football League, is that organizations aren't run under the idea of what's best for the organization over a timeline. They're run under the idea of what's best for the people running the organizations over the course of how long they think they, how much rope they have. I promise you, if Les Snead and Sean McVay thought they had 10 years, if they had a John Gruden contract, it would be a different approach. That's not the reality. And so Matt Stafford's a Ram. A bunch of you hit me up on Twitter at SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. It was both nice to know how many of you listen to the show. Thank you. And a little disconcerting how important the Marvel Universe is and how angry. I mean, I'm used to people chirping at me over my bad sports takes when they happen. Rarely, but they happen. Oh, yeah, I thought you said the Browns were going to lose. But I got a lot of WandaVision stuff. I mean, I actually didn't watch WandaVision on Friday. Decided to just randomly teach myself how to make a home pasta because can't do anything. So I must have made 10 pounds of homemade pasta, and I think I ate all of it. And my goal to look like Jabba the Hutt by the end of the year, well on its way. Yeah, I did. But I didn't watch WandaVision until Sunday. Yeah, it was real good. Yeah, it was a great episode. The episode of WandaVision was amazing because it didn't take place in some stupid black and white world. It took place outside of the grid, and it was an actual Marvel's thing. But I could have done 5 minutes of the black and white BS and been fine with it. So yeah, it was a good episode, but don't give me this. I knew it. You knew what? All right, maybe you did. We'll see. I want to see a couple more. Because if it goes back to Donna Reed, I'm just going to go back on my high horse. Bogish, how's the weather there, buddy? What's going on in New York City and Jersey? And no, you're on Long Island.
Long Island. It's wonderful. I mean, just one. Looking outside right now, I can barely see my neighbor's house across the street because
you
the
don't like
snow
that guy?
Is coming down so much and there's wind, yeah.
So is that like you're glad because you hate that guy and you don't have to see him? Or are you being sarcastic?
No. I mean, the sarcasm is about the weather, not my neighbor disappearing from 100 feet across the street.
Got it.
If it's that far. But no, I need him. He owns a business that has a crew of workers that normally comes by and shovels. So I'm hoping to slip them some money to clean my little mini driveway out because I'm on the side of the street that the plow hits. So whatever snow falls gets doubled in wall size up against my driveway to get out.
What is worse, getting plowed in or having to walk through the snow like Tom this morning to get to the train? Tough call.
Well, see, I do miss living in like an urban area in the city in an apartment where I didn't have to shovel the sidewalk and walking did suck, but I got somewhere. Like I feel very trapped right now because almost nothing is within walking distance to me right now. So I need my car. I need an outlet to go get supplies like by like Wednesday afternoon. So if this is like hellacious, then I might need a rescue dog or something.
We had a very similar weekend. I can relate to you guys because on Friday, for like an hour, it rained. And it was hard, right? It was like traumatic. We didn't get to go outside for an hour and a half.
But I thought you had like torrential pouring rain in California recently.
Last week we did, yeah. Yeah. But then it rained a little bit more on Friday. Like we weren't really prepared for that. We're like, okay, we're through the rain. And then on Saturday, I played 3 hours of tennis and went horseback riding in the sun with my family because, you know, social distancing stuff. So that was fun. But, you know, but there were some puddles on the horseback riding, which I wasn't cool with. So that was tough for me.
Thoughts and prayers. I'd like to announce on this note that all proceeds from the Whisper Phones Valentine CD will be going towards your rain relief efforts in Southern California. So
LA Rain Fund.
I mean, yeah, thank you, because I need some new shoes, because a pair of shoes that I got muddy, and I haven't had a pair of shoes get muddy since I lived. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, what is this substance, you know?
This is what charity is for, your muddy shoes. This is what we're here for to do, and we're going to fix this for you as soon as possible.
Side note, since we're all helping each other, if you ever take your children horseback riding, you probably should tell your son a little more aggressively not to try to go fast, because all my son did on the horse was take the reins and hit the back of the horse as hard as he could and scream, go faster. But luckily, the cowboy was with us, just like, got a hold of the, like, he ain't ready to go fast. You don't even know how to go slow. And I believe Henry said, hell no, let's go fast. I believe that's the exact quote. It was a moment.
What a kid.
What a kid. Tom, how was your commute, pal? Are you enjoying the winter weather?
It was quite miserable. But I was going to say, at least I have the option of setting out on foot, even if it's, you know, not that smart or good an option. At least it is an option. But that's what I did. I walked all the way to the train, took a train. Thankful that they're still operating the PATH trains. Please keep operating through the night. I'm pretty sure they will. And
you'll sleep on the couch there.
Walk the other way. Yeah, I'd rather not. I'd rather get home today.
So basically, the reason we brought up the weather is Matt Stafford, congratulations. You are entering my weather universe. And Jared Goff, Cali kid, spent his whole year in California. Buy a winter coat. This is going to be... Detroit's a cold place, man.
Yeah. At least the games are inside, but yeah.
Yeah, but here's what you'll learn the hard way, because I forgot. I'm from the Midwest when I moved to New York. I forgot the actual commute can be miserable. Just the, you know, even getting your car and turning the car on can be less than pleasant.
Was it Goff in Hard Knocks that was like hitting golf balls off his multi-tiered backyard in California?
Everything
yes.
for me is that right, drowned out by he didn't know where the sun
exactly.
would set and rise?
He didn't know which direction the sun rose and yeah. fell.
The good
so
note
so he
news
broke
is,
even on that front.
I can't speak for Detroit, but where I'm from in Des Moines and Dubuque, in the wintertime, there was so much gray, you couldn't see the sun. So you don't even have to know where the sun comes up
not
and
even
down.
A question.
Yeah, there is no sun.
Don't even worry about it.
The sun sets and rises starting in May. That's all you need to know. All right, what else going on?
Well, it's all sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Let's go back through the fallout of the Stafford-Goff trade. Before dealing with Detroit, the Rams reportedly asked the Packers about Aaron Rodgers and were quickly told they're not trading him. The Panthers' offer for Stafford reportedly began with the 8th pick in April, and Washington believes its proposal was better than LA's in the short term. In Houston, the Chronicle says this trade will not affect the Texans' asking price for Deshaun Watson. The paper believes Houston will want at least 2 first-round picks, 2 seconds, and 2 defensive starters. The Chiefs are not yet in Tampa Bay. The Bucs business as usual in their hometown, but Super Bowl week is now officially underway. Buck assistant coaches will meet with reporters starting at the top of the hour. The Nets led last night in Washington by 5 points in the final seconds. Then Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook knocked down threes with a Joe Harris turnover in between. Washington stealing a 149-146 home win. Steve Nash on the collapse.
Joe just threw it in, and Kevin was cutting the wrong one, cutting a different direction. So it was just an error, and it happens. But when you give up 149 points, you know, that's one error in about 50 defensive lapses.
It is the 7th time in 8 games, if I can count correctly, that Brooklyn gave up 120 or more. They played last night without James Harden because of a minor thigh bruise. Back tightness kept Joel Embiid out last night. His Sixers closed on a 31-6 run to win in Indy 119-110. The Pacers led 104-88 early in the fourth. At some point today, MLB players are likely to say no thanks to Friday's proposal from owners for the coming season. It called for spring training and opening day being pushed back a month, 154 games, but paid for 162, universal DH, and expanded playoffs. The players don't need to say yes to anything. If there's no compromise, everything starts on time, and they try to play 162. We have a reported trade this morning. The Orioles about to send veteran righty Alex Cobb to the Angels, and Padres shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr. will be on the cover of MLB The Show 21. And U.S. men's soccer put its first friendly of the new year last night, a 7-0 win in Orlando over Trinidad and Tobago. Bill, back to you.
You just put a shock through me, the biggest shock since it rained here. When you said a trade and then you said Fernando Tatis Jr., you should have seen Tom see my face. I laid my hand on my heart like, what? But that's not what happened.
No.
We have some requests on the old Twitter. At Andrew Bogus, sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R, about the whisper phone. One was just whisper phone. So I guess one was just like they want a little whisper phone jingle. I'm going to say. The other is something they want the whisper phone to help Mraz with a pipe. What happened to Mraz's house?
Yeah, at the end of our show, at like 9:42, all of a sudden he just storms out of our Zoom show meeting and our web broadcast because a pipe in a bathroom burst and there was like water all rushing through the first floor of his house. But not to make light of the situation, but you could see him like looking puzzled at his wife who had come down to the basement to tell him, and then like him going, I can't get up, and then I guess realizing he had to get up, like threw his headphones down and went storming out of sight. So hopefully things are okay in Shawnee. But I did actually send him a plumber's recommendation. The problem is, I don't know if anyone's actually going to get to your house right now because it's so bad out here right now.
What a Monday.
Yeah.
What a brutal Monday.
13 months. What a year.
Yeah, what a year. We all thought 2021 was going to be the end of 2020. Joke's on us. Just keeps rolling. All right, Andrew Bogish, at Andrew Bogish on Twitter. He'll be back with us next hour. Let's get into what the Stafford Goff trade means for the Deshaun Watson market next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. We're not going to really talk a lot of NBA today, but Anthony Slayton tweeted at me, at Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, the Wizards dropping 6 points in 5 seconds to stun the Nets again with Westbrook dropping 41 as Nemesis Durant. Hashtag DC above all. I saw it. I loved it. It was awesome. I got nothing else for you other than it was awesome. It literally is not possible to lose that game unless you have like a guy like James Harden on your team. I mean, it wasn't even Harden's fault. I'm just saying. How do you find, it was amazing. It really was. It was a thing of absolute beauty. All right. So the Stafford trade, we'll talk to Steve Berline about this trade in about 15 minutes. Fortune favors the bold. It does. I mean, what they don't tell you in that expression is that while fortune favors the bold, it also like destroys 9 out of 10 people who try to find it through boldness. We'll see which way it goes for the Rams and for that organization. I mean, really fascinating, fascinating trade, fascinating decision. Now, if I'm Sean McVay, I'm feeling some optimism because I've made the decision. I've gotten what I wanted. If I'm the Detroit Lions, I'm feeling some optimism. You take Goff aside, you've got 2 first-round picks and a third as part of a rebuilding process. You'll have 2 first-round picks the next couple drafts. And that's before you get into whether or not Jared Goff is redeemable as a serviceable to maybe excellent quarterback. We're going to see. We're going to find out. And certainly the Lions are aware of the reality that if Goff is not a guy who can carry a team himself, he is a person we've seen have a lot of success. A ton of success when he's had a really excellent run game to pair with. And if you're Detroit and you're in a rebuild and you're building right now, and there are some guys there that can run the football. They ran the football basically middle of the pack. Yards per attempt was 4.1 this past season. Total rushing yards was right around 14th or 15th in the National Football League. But you can build toward a run-first approach or at least a run game that makes Jared Goff more comfortable, more successful, and you can see what you have. So both the parties of the trade are going to feel pretty good about where they're at for the time being. That's the way these things go. I think the chill that goes up the spine for the National Football League is what it costs now to go get Deshaun Watson. Think about the cost of Deshaun Watson. And frankly, I don't think the Green Bay Packers have any intention of dealing Aaron Rodgers, and I think Aaron Rodgers' intention was to get a contract extension to make the most money in the history of the National Football League. I don't think he's going anywhere. But reportedly, the Rams asked about Aaron Rodgers. They were told by the Packers, he's Aaron Rodgers, please go away, or some version of that. And the Rams reportedly asked about Deshaun Watson, and according to the reporting, it wasn't that they were told no, it's that the Rams could not afford the price. Jared Goff, 2 first-round picks and a third. Man, they weren't even in the ballpark. Here's what I said to Tom on the drive-in with no information other than my gut instinct. I would not be shocked if the Texans didn't say to the Rams, yeah, that's really interesting. Deshaun's available for the right price. We'd like three first-round picks, a third-round pick, Jared Goff, and Aaron Donald. Let's try to find a way to make the math work. And before you drive, please don't drive your car off, into a street sign. I think that that is the kind of outrageous ask that the Texans are going to require. I don't think there's a scenario based on what we know now that, for example, Jacksonville can get Deshaun Watson for Trevor Lawrence. I think it's the number one pick and another number one pick and maybe a third round pick. Now, it's a combination of a few things. One, Deshaun Watson is a remarkable talent. It is hard to think that you can draft in the next 10 years, and you can look back at the last 10, draft a quarterback anywhere in the draft, number one overall again and again and again, and have the kind of first 3 years to a career that Deshaun Watson has had. I mean, the guy is an absolute stud. I also think you can't discount the prideful effect of Nick Cassero being the GM and coming from New England. We've seen that folks who come from that Patriots well, whether it's the coaching side or the player personnel side, have a overabundance of self-confidence that curdles into arrogance and that becomes stubbornness. And if Casario's been hired by a guy in Jack Easterby who feels like there's a power struggle, or if any part of the organization, including the owner, Easterby, the owner, Casario, new head coach, anybody, feels like Deshaun Watson is playing a power move on them, everyone in that quartet have seemed to have indicated, maybe not the head coach, maybe that trio, that they have a high level of self-regard and a willingness to do things that they think is best for them or the organization at the cost of culture. I mean, Deshaun Watson, before he demanded a trade, said at the end of the year, we need people who are about winning. We need people who are about the team. We need people who are in positions of power who aren't about themselves. That's a direct shot at people in power. And people in power that act that way don't respond well to being threatened, even by someone like Deshaun Watson. So there might be more than just Deshaun Watson so valuable, let's ask for a lot. There may be hey, Deshaun, do something anatomically impossible to yourself because we're going to ask for the moon. We're going to ask for everything. I think that's a legitimate and real concern if you're Deshaun Watson. If you're the Jets, well, another report out there says that what the Texans want, it's speculative, is something in the range of four first-round picks and two young defensive stars. Think about that. Now, even if that's a negotiating ploy, two defensive stars or a defensive star and a young quarterback, depending on the organization, three first-round picks and a third or two firsts and two seconds, that's everything. I think Deshaun Watson's amazing. I think he's incredible. But I'm just not giving that up if I'm the Jets. I don't think I'm giving that up if I'm anyone. And the fact that the Rams, who are in desperation mode, are in win-now mode, weren't able or willing to come up with whatever the price is for Deshaun Watson, I think tells you the price is going to be intentionally too steep. Because I don't know if Matt Stafford is going to work with the Rams. I think it's going to be really interesting. I think it can. I think it makes sense. I think it's bold. I think it's an act of boldness out of some desperation from the Rams' mismanagement of their cap situation and their roster and their overconfidence in what they had and buying into the hype a little too soon. But if you tell me that Deshaun Watson is going to Los Angeles to play for the Rams and Aaron Donald's not going in return, I'm telling you, the Rams are a Super Bowl. They're a Super Bowl favorite. They are, and the Rams know that. That means the price is so outrageous for Deshaun Watson that the Texans don't want to trade him. And it's easy to pile on and to say that it's not a good culture and to make fun of Nick Cassero, where he comes from, and Easterby like I have. But I wouldn't trade Deshaun Watson. It's going to be a test. It's going to be a telling test of the power of an athlete in the National Football League to try and pull the kind of my way or the highway absolutism we've seen in the NBA. This is somewhat untested ground. And you can look, I think, a little bit to Green Bay. It's clear Aaron Rodgers hasn't been happy for a minute with the Packers. Wasn't happy with Mike McCarthy, turns out, for good reason. I don't think he's happy with his current situation. Maybe for good reason, maybe not. Packers aren't going to trade him. They're not going to trade him. I mean, Tom Brady finally got free of the Patriots, but it was only a few years ago, it was all lovey-dovey between Belichick and the GOAT. I think this Goff Stafford trade makes it much more likely, well more than 50%, 82% and a half, that Deshaun Watson's going to be a Texan this year. All right, let's. I want to get a quarterback's perspective on this quarterback swapping scenario with Stafford and Goff. Steve Berline, longtime NFL quarterback, CBS Sports NFL analyst, joins me next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, happy Monday. Welcome back into the show. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Talking a lot about Jared Goff, a lot about Matt Stafford, and I'm really excited to get a perspective from a longtime NFL quarterback, CBS Sports NFL analyst. Our friend Steve Berline joins us right now on the show. Steve, thanks for being here, man. Happy Super Bowl week to you.
Hey, Bill. Glad to be a part of it, man. This is a great way to start the week out for me.
So what a blockbuster of a trade. What was I'm curious, just your initial reaction when you heard Stafford coming out here to L.A. for the Rams and Jared Goff going to the Lions?
I was caught off guard by it. I knew there was a little bit of speculation leading up to it for the day or two before, but I just didn't see it happening. I really thought that Frank Reich and the Indianapolis Colts were going to find a way to land Matthew Stafford. To me, that was the obvious place for him to end up. But man, I really do like the trade, and I like it for both teams, believe it or not. And I think the Rams, they get what they believe is the missing piece for their Super Bowl run. They believe that Jared Goff was probably the only thing standing between them and winning a Super Bowl. They've got a great team built around whoever they could find to elevate that quarterback position. They've got a lot of talented wide receivers. They've got two or three really good tight ends. They've got some good young running backs now on offense and defense. Obviously, it speaks for itself. But I think they just felt that was the only weak link. And people say, well, they gave up too much. Well, when you're a team that really believes you are ready to win the Super Bowl if you can get an elite level quarterback, I think you got to go for it. And the Rams did it, so I admire their guts and their courage for doing this. And then for Detroit, you know, with their situation, to get those draft picks, that's how they're going to become relevant again. And they've got a quarterback who, you know, if nothing else, in Jared Goff, he'll get them through the next couple of years until they get that position fortified. He'll be a sufficient quarterback. I really believe in L.A., if he could just, you know, make a little bit of progress, I felt that he still had a chance to be a guy that could get them back to a Super Bowl if he just could play a little bit more consistently. But now in Detroit, without the supporting cast built in around him, I really think he's gonna end up being just an average quarterback, and he'll kind of play himself out of his contract, and you know, we'll see if he can develop into a legitimate starting quarterback as the years go by.
Steve Berline here on the show. And Steve, what do you just make of the price beyond Goff? Two firsts and a third round pick. Is that just the going rate for a good quarterback, or however you want to tag Stafford these days?
Well, it is now. It is now, and it's going to be more for Deshaun Watson. We all know that. He's got more gas left in the tank, and he's a guy that's already been deep into the playoffs and proven himself in the short career he's had that he can carry a football team. So I think it is a pretty steep price. When I first saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, I mean, that's an awful lot to give up. But I still like to trade for the Rams, and I believe that's going to kind of set a precedent here. And you know, if you've got a pedigree like one of these guys, if they're not happy and they want to make an environment change and move to a new organization, this is what it's going to cost.
Steve Berline here on the program, Writer Than You. I'm Bill Ryder. Steve, so the Deshaun Watson situation with the Texans is fascinating, and reportedly the Rams couldn't afford what the price was for Deshaun Watson. So God only knows what it would have cost to go get that 25-year-old quarterback. If you're a team like the Jets or any organization, would you be willing to pay markedly more than we just saw the Rams pay for Stafford to go get Deshaun Watson?
Oh, man, I think you can only justify it if you're not a team that's ready to make a Super Bowl run. I think you can only justify it if you do have a stockpile of draft picks, because what you're going to get if you don't have the support around a guy like Deshaun Watson, you're going to get what happened to the Houston Texans for the last few years. You're going to get a team that's got a great quarterback that just doesn't have enough around him. Nobody can carry a team without some sort of a supporting cast. And Deshaun Watson has proven that over the last couple of years. To go to a team like the Jets, you've got to have salary cap space. You've got to have draft picks to give. And you've got to have a little bit of a young core nucleus already in place that's going to be able to validate making that trade within 2 to 3 years maximum. So you can't give away the draft picks, I don't think, if you don't have a stockpile or if you don't have a team that's ready to win a Super Bowl right now.
Steve Berline here on the show. Steve, what are we supposed to make of Father Time, the idea of age, Tom Brady? I don't even know what the right question is to ask you about the ridiculousness of this guy at 43 doing what he's doing.
I don't know how to answer the question. I have tried so hard to write him off and say I've made every possible argument in the world as to why he would not get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the Super Bowl, and here we are. I mean, I have no explanation for it. It just validates everything about the guy. I've always been a huge fan, but I just refused to believe that a 43-year-old could get a team to the Super Bowl, and I just didn't think it could happen. And the guy just continues to amaze, and it proved that he was a much bigger part of what the Patriots did during his tenure there than everybody even gave him credit for. And they're already considering him the greatest of all time. He's the GOAT, but we obviously know now that he had a much bigger role in that run than anybody ever gave him credit for.
I think it's Steve Berline here on the show. Steve, it's obviously reasonable to talk about the Chiefs being contenders, not just obviously in Super Bowl 55, but next year and the year after that and for many years. Is it reasonable to talk about Tampa Bay and Tom Brady being competitors when he is a 44-year-old quarterback in a year and a 45-year-old quarterback in a couple? Is that real?
Well, I'm getting tired of saying no and being proven wrong. I really am. I don't know how to answer that question. Obviously, it's not going to continue forever. I mean, we know that to be a fact. Now, the question is, how long can he go through what he puts himself through to keep himself as young as he does, and keep that passion and the desire to prove everybody wrong? It's never been done before. Obviously, it's never been seen before. So I don't know. I mean, that is a team that truly was a quarterback away. It's like the Rams, like, you know, it's a great example what that one piece can do for you. You know, they had Jameis Winston, and they were 7-9 last year, and you bring in the best quarterback ever, but in his 40s, and a lot of people question it. They were like, how do you commit to a guy that had the kind of year Tom Brady had in New England last year? How do you make that move and justify it with a team that really has a lot of talent in Tampa Bay? Well, this justifies it all, and I do believe that is a team that, because of the supporting cast, there are a lot of elite quarterbacks that would make them a legitimate Super Bowl team. I just didn't think Tom Brady could do it again, that's all. So my answer is I don't think he can do it again, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did it again.
Steve Berline, don't be hard on yourself. I wrote a column after the last Giants-Patriots Super Bowl questioned how long Tom Brady could dominate. So he's been making me look dumb for a decade. He's been making me look It's amazing what he's accomplishing, and I know on a shorter timeline, but still, it's also eye popping to watch Patrick Mahomes and just the incredible level of dominance and excellence at every step of his career, early in his career. So here, Steve's another one of these impossible questions. But if you're the Bucks and you're looking at tape and you're trying to figure out a way to at least slow down Patrick Mahomes, what do you need to do? What's the strategy?
Well, you have to, and the Bucks have a great defense. So they've proven that in this little run here too. But you have to, absolutely have to take away a couple of their threats. And the two that jump out are Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. You know, you have to find a way to contain those two guys. And it's going to be tough because if there is a weakness in Tampa Bay's defense, it is the tight end position, what they've done all year. Their numbers against tight ends, I think they've given up over 72% completions tight ends. They've given up 10 touchdowns to tight ends on the regular season, which was the only five teams had given up more to the tight ends. They've given up almost 1,000 yards receiving to tight ends, and only five teams had given up more yards to tight ends than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's been exploited consistently this year as one area of opportunity. And now you got the best tight end, arguably, ever to play with the body of work that Travis Kelce has put together these last few years. And you say that's got to be where Kansas City has a considerable advantage. And then you look at what Tyreek Hill did to them when they played in Week 11. He had 13 catches for 269 yards and three touchdowns. So, you know, those are the two guys they got to stop. But that's obviously something that they've struggled to do this year. So I don't know what Tampa Bay is going to be able to come up with. But if they don't find a way to control those two guys, this game can get out of hand. I think Kansas City's defense is playing well enough. And Spagnuolo is a very creative defensive coordinator. They may not have a dominating defense, but he seems to be able to dial up the right kind of a game plan in the big games. You know, what they did against Stephon Diggs and Buffalo, in the AFC Championship game was very impressive. And he just seems to have a great feel for when to bring pressure, how to create pressure, and dial those things up at the right time. So I really expect Kansas City to win this football game. And I made the call last week. I think they'll win by, 10 points. And that's, I know that's kind of going out on a limb, but that's my prediction for this game. I just think that they're too young and too talented, and especially given that Mahomes, with a week off to get that foot even more healthy, is going to be better than he was in the AFC Championship.
Steve Berline here on the program. Steve, the entire NFL, and I know there's more to winning than just a quarterback, but obviously that is a critical level of importance, and we've seen that in a lot of the drama and things that have gone on the last few weeks. If we just look backwards at Patrick Mahomes, where he was drafted, how he was developed, is there any magic recipe to trying to find another superstar-level quarterback, or is it just as simple as he's a once-in-a-generation talent and the Chiefs recognized that and went and got him?
Well, a couple things. One, it's not the first time this has happened. I mean, think about Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees, right? Those are three guys that were drafted way behind where Patrick Mahomes was drafted. And they're arguably three of the top, seven or eight, for sure, top 10 quarterbacks of all time right there. So Patrick Mahomes, what he's doing right now, I think is generational for sure. The things that he's been able to do to this point in his career have never been done. And I believe he's going to accomplish more this weekend than has never been done, being the youngest quarterback ever to win two Super Bowls I think it's before 26 or whatever. I can't remember the exact stat, but back-to-back and before a certain age. And he just continues to show that no situation is too big. He's they hit the jackpot. I mean, what else can you say? Nobody expected Patrick Mahomes to be this good, but now nobody is surprised by anything that he does.
Steve Berline, as always, man, having you on, it's excellent. It makes us smarter. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for helping us kick off Super Bowl week with one of the best in the biz.
Glad to do it, Bill. Happy to join you guys anytime.
Appreciate you. Steve Berline on the show. That was great. I agree. It does. It feels like the Chiefs are going to win this thing by 10 or 14 or 17. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Talk some more NFL next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Oh, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. There is so much certainty, right? This overwhelming sense of confidence that the Chiefs are going to win this game. I think they're going to win the game. My buddy Bryce, it's the uniqueness of hosting a radio show where you get like people that you've known for a long time who are like, hey, you don't suck at radio, man. Thanks. Hey, I listened to your radio show for the first time ever and kind of liked it. Where have you been? And thanks. So I got a similar thing. Hey, you make some good points on the radio, like your picks. So now he's in. Now he teased the Chiefs, you know, to get a better number to 7.5. He's on the Chiefs at more than a touchdown. And the crazy thing is, I don't think it's that crazy. You're Steve Berline talk about the fact that the Bucs, one of their weaknesses, right, one of their Achilles heels is guarding tight ends. Travis Kelce's a pretty good tight end. And everyone's weakness, the weakness of every defense in the NFL that plays the Chiefs, is trying to stop Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes. The Bucs against the Chiefs, the Bucs defense against the Chiefs offense obviously is a critical thing, and I could be wrong, and the overconfidence the Chiefs are going to dominate could be misplaced. I don't think it is. We're certainly going to see. I am fascinated by Spags' not amazing but markedly improved Kansas City Chiefs defense against a 43-year-old in Tom Brady who took command of that game at Lambeau. But had Aaron Rodgers been better, this is a fact, the three interceptions wouldn't have been a mark of what Brady rose against. It would have been a mark of how he gave the game away. Now, those things are connected. Giving a game away is only a reality if the quarterback you're playing is capable of taking it. Aaron Rodgers wasn't. Had the ball three times in fourth quarter, couldn't get the ball in the end zone. You give the ball three times to Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter, if Mahomes has an off quarter, it's going to be 17 points in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl, is what it feels like. I want to see whether or not Tom Brady can just keep in the game. Maybe he can. Maybe nothing's going to surprise me. I feel a lot of confidence that I know what Mahomes is going to be, which is awesome. I feel no confidence that I have a read on what that Bucs-led, Tom Brady-led offense is going to look like. It could go a few ways. It could go a few ways. It really could. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. You know, I was thinking about Jared Goff, and I don't know Goff. I think I've been around him a couple times. I don't know him. You know, I know him, I guess, like you know him, through Hard Knocks and watching him do his thing. And I think one of the things that feels unknowable about Goff is the level to which he is the better version of himself or the worse version of himself in the long run as a quarterback. He had great games. He had great stretches. He had great games. He had some great games this year. Not enough. That's why he's not a Ram anymore. Is that a product of Sean McVay's genius and the reason it wasn't sustainable because Jared Goff is the problem? Or did McVay have a little bit too much doubt in Goff, too much of a control freak, didn't manage the person the way that he managed the X's and O's? Because those are different things. You have to be, and that's one of the things that we probably don't celebrate about Andy Reid enough, because for years it led to losing. Andy Reid is clearly a tactical genius offensively, and that's come, I think, to the forefront with Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is the instrument of Reid's opus. But for years, Andy Reid's biggest strength was the way that players loved him and responded to him. Andy Reid had a human touch, and it either backfired or we thought it backfired in the sense that when Andy Reid would make a big game, his players would take on the nerves and the nervousness and the need to win for Andy that Andy felt, that Reid felt, and they couldn't get it done. But he's crossed that threshold if it ever existed. It's hard. Winning changes everything, including what we thought reality was. I'm really curious whether or not McVay's obsessive, football-only, brilliant approach maybe lost something in the personal interactions you have to have. If you're in charge of anyone who's talented, if you're in charge of anyone who's not talented, why did everybody look at one of the two guys on the screen? I think you're both talented. If you manage anyone who's talented or not, you have to manage the person, not just the thing that they do for a living. And so whether or not, you know, Jared Goff is going to play for a touchy-feely head coach who got the job because I'm a really excited guy and I can swear at a press conference. Yeah, emotion. Maybe it's a perfect fit. It's so many interesting pieces moving together. All right, 855-212-4CBS if you want to give us a call. Apparently, it's like the Andrew Bogish fan club today on Twitter at SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, or at Andrew Bogish. I got people asking for the whisper phone. I got people calling him Drew. Somebody call him an AB. Mr. Nickname over here. Bogus, you are popular, buddy.
Thank you, Twitter, for being on my side today. I appreciate it. So I didn't know so.
You were gonna get with the whisper phone and get us. Do you have any props for us? Do you have any inclinations? Do you want to play an Andrew Bogus song? Is that something you're interested in?
No, it's not. Your friend with the Chiefs -7.5. The whisper phone shrugged at that number.
Shrugged? Like,
yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Tease it to 14.
The whisper phone likes the Chiefs, but likes the Bucks to keep it closer than that.
Oh, I see. Interesting. And how are the Valentine's Day whisper phone songs going? Because that really is around the corner.
It is. It is February today. We're less than 2 weeks out. Today was going to be a big recording day, but unfortunately, Mother Nature has intervened. I think tomorrow's going to be a problem, too. So we'll have a little more work to do when we reconvene on Wednesday.
All right. So on Mondays of football weeks, we sometimes do way too early picks, where they're not necessarily binding way too early. We've had a lot of time to think about this. I'm going Chiefs for all the money. All the money, all the time. 3.5, 7.5. Hell, the line could be 13.5. If I could get the Chiefs as a... I wonder what I probably couldn't get a casino to give me this, but if I could Chiefs -13.5 and get a really juicy number, I think I would do it. I think I would just do it. In fact, my brother's going to Vegas in a... Oh, he's going the day after Super Bowl. I was going to say, I might try to get him to put a bet in for me. The Chiefs dominate. The Chiefs win 42-23. That's what I've got a domination, guys. Tom DiBenedetto, where are you coming down on this?
I'm with you. I'm done picking against Mahomes this year. I'll believe it when I see it, a defensive effort that can stop them. I understand the argument that they have the four-down lineman pass rush to potentially both play coverage and get him off his spot. That's the best-case scenario for Todd Bowles' defense, and I understand it's the type of defense that maybe could do it. I'm not going to bet on that.
Bogus, do you want to go against the whisper phone, against Steve Berline, against Tom, against me, against the world?
I mean, against myself. That's the problem. Like, everything in my head screams Chiefs pulling away and winning. But like, Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl, and I don't want to dwell on that. I wish it wasn't true. I don't think that he and them are good enough to win this. But, like, I didn't think they were going to win in Lambeau, and they somehow won in Lambeau. So, like, I don't know how to process the fact that he might be some kind of, you know, multidimensional wizard that is able to manipulate this game somehow into his favor. I don't know how to account for that when I'm trying to put money on the line here that he's the guy I'm betting against.
Can I tell you, like, I'm getting inundated with Andrew Bogish messages. I put out that I have the Facebook Messenger thing. You can look me up, Bill Ryder.
Yeah.
Bill Ryder Sports. I don't even know. I don't even know what it is. And Brian LeBaron is using it right now to instant message me about you in this exact moment. Listener, Brian LeBaron, please mix in Arnold Bogus into the WHISPA phone. WHISPA spelled WHISPA. That's a great idea.
It's a very good idea.
How do we mix
it? Maybe I can ask Coach K to do background vocals on one of our Valentine's Day songs. I hadn't thought about that, but Mikey does owe me a favor, so let me ask him.
Yeah, like on whatever diss track you're doing, you just tell Coach K it's about dissing amateur student journalists. And I bet he'll sign right up.
He probably has multiple things written down right now. Doesn't even need new material.
He can do it off the top. He can Jay-Z that just the top of his head.
Thanks for asking. Let me get my notebook. Hold on.
Lay down that first track. Man, you and Coach K have a deep relationship. I didn't realize you guys are such good friends, though. That's amazing.
I didn't realize it at first. I thought it was a joke, but I keep getting Christmas cards and text and stuff like that. Yeah, we're tight.
When you guys golf together, do you lose on purpose or do you bring the ruckus?
Yes. I mean, I couldn't beat him if I wanted to, but I make sure that he wins comfortably enough to remain Coach K. You can't, and it's a tricky thing because you can't let him know that you're letting him win, but you got to let him win. So that's
it's a
skill you have to hone.
I have played tennis, but not with famous people. I played golf with so many athletes and coaches for stories, and it's always a mind bleep. Like, I've got Isaiah Thomas pretending that I struck a child with a golf ball to throw me off my... Have I told you this story, Andrew?
No.
Bogus?
No.
I've got Marty Schottenheimer trying to, like, coach me through a golf... Look, I'm not a great golfer, but I can shoot, you know, from the tips. I can shoot anywhere from an 82 to 120. I understand that's a range, but, like, I can hit the ball off the tee, right? I can hit the ball around a little bit. And I shot 149 with Marty on 9. I think we gave up on 7 because Marty Schottenheimer would not stop coaching me. He took me to some course he lived on where the greens were ice, where pros lived there and practiced, someplace in North Carolina. And literally during my backswing, everything was just like, now bend your knees, move your right. Good. I would just hit the ball 3 feet. Isaiah Thomas, I played at some fancy country club in Miami for a story. And again, I'm not a great golfer, but I can put together holes. And I think I was 1 under through 4. Just one of those stupid Caddyshack, hold out a shot, got up on the green, like hit something. I think I hit a flag stick and it fell, you know, whatever, for a par. And Isaiah was at 1 over and I hit a ball towards some kids who were playing in their yard, but it didn't. And he went over and called their mother out and apologized for his playing partner, and then she came out and yelled at me, and I like, and then he winked at me, and I think I put up a 12, and then we were friends again. It's a true story.
That's amazing.
It's terrible.
Especially without actual child injury. It's a great story.
There was no child injury. No. Are your children okay? Is everything? I'm not sure where the ball my friend hit. I don't. What happened? Like, nothing. All right. That's my story. I got people blowing up my phone about Bogus over here.
The whisper phone.
Do we have Coach K?
It's my boy. You can hear the love in his voice.
You guys look really downtrodden by this weather. You both just look like you could use some Southern California weather.
Well, they just announced in this segment that the PATH transit shut down at 3 o'clock today, so now I got a big decision to make. I think it should be back on by morning rush tomorrow. I think I'm going to escape and then come back tomorrow morning. But, yeah, it just keeps getting more miserable.
I would ask you to cut that. We can play it tomorrow when you're not here, but I don't know who would do that. So it just
that's therein lies the issue.
All right, so there.
I can cut it out for somebody to make fun of me tomorrow. Yeah, I'll do that.
That's right. It's all happening. Noting
it.
I was just doing the show when a bunch of sound just started happening here in the studio. I'm sitting just another, you know, other stuff was just piping through. It was like a scene from WandaVision. Bill, are you on the air? Yeah, I'm on the air, WandaVision speaker. Go away. All right, Mr. Bogus, what else is going on?
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, GM Brian Gutekunst are talking this morning. LaFleur said, is that a trick question? When asked if Aaron Rodgers will remain his starting QB, and the GM said the report that the Rams called about Rodgers before the Stafford Goff trade is completely false. Goff, tells NFL.com he's excited to play for a team that he knows wants him and appreciates him in Detroit. In Houston, Jack Easterby is still reportedly calling agents like a football exec. He was supposed to stop doing things like that once Nick Caserio came aboard as GM. Dustin Pedroia just announced his retirement after 17 seasons with the Red Sox. He has played, though, just 9 games since 2017 because of knee problems. Pedroia's resume includes 3 world titles, MVP, Rookie of the Year, and 4 gold gloves. The Orioles reportedly close to dealing veteran righty Alex Cobb to the Angels, and Padres shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr. is the cover athlete for MLB The Show 21. To the NBA, where the Wizards stole a 149-146 win from the Nets last night. Bradley Beal hit a 3. They stole the inbounds pass, and then Russell Westbrook hit a 3, all in the final 8-plus seconds of regulation. Westbrook scored 15 of his 41 in the fourth.
Well, I saw the time score, just try to get a quick steal, you know, in time, like they try to get a quick steal and go for the win. At this time, we don't have nothing to lose. It's win or go home, and we need this win very badly.
What are we celebrating, Bill? Westbrook and the Nets beating the Nets?
What
did they do?
Just the Nets crumbling. I was celebrating that. I loved everything about it. I love Westbrook's revenge. You can't root for those three guys unless you're a Nets fan. I mean, come on. It's obnoxious. And all three of those guys are kind of obnoxious.
Thank you. They scored 146 without Harden last night and couldn't beat the Wizards.
They're on pace. It's a short sample size, but since Harden got traded, they're on pace to have the greatest offensive rating of all time and the worst defensive rating in the history of the NBA.
It's almost like they just don't play defense to get the ball back fast enough to score more points.
Yes, Steve Nash, Steve Brash, Steve Rash. Get out of here. It's not going to work. Love it.
In the NHL last night, Edmonton beat Ottawa 8-5. Leon Draisaitl racking up 6 assists, 1 goal, and 4 helpers for Connor McDavid. U.S. men's soccer roughed up Trinidad and Tobago 7-0 in Orlando in their first friendly of 2021. And across the Atlantic, it is transfer deadline day in European soccer. That deadline hits in different times in different countries. It is 6 Eastern for the Premier League. Nothing of major significance has happened just yet. Bill, back to you.
Is Messi gone? Just kidding. We're actually
Messi gone today?
He's so good, dude. He's so good. All right, we got from our guy, Scott, ScottyD47 on Twitter, we've got some alternate lines. Chiefs minus 15 plus 460, so basically more than 4.5 to 1. Chiefs minus 14.5 plus 325. Chiefs minus 13.5 plus 370. Who, to quote Jerry Maguire, don't see a fish, see money, bags of money. Who's coming with me? You guys want some of these alternate lines? I might get on this.
My first impression is that it's not enough, but you know what? That's actually a pretty good bet to bet on the Chiefs. Under 2 touchdowns, 13.5. I would not go to 14.
I might just get crazy and go to 15.
Insane. Oh, my gosh.
Put my extra, so $100 to win $460?
You're begging for just misery.
I'm begging for
that backdoor. Like, it's a blowout game. It's never in doubt, but you still lose because of that backdoor cheap score.
I think I'm going to do it. I haven't done it yet. Bogus, you look like you want a piece of this. You want to go in on this with me? I'll do 100. You do 500.
Okay. Well, I like that ratio, first of all, so I'm in on that. That's a good idea.
Thank you.
For some reason, this strangely makes sense. Like the extra gamble of not just winning, but winning by the extra touchdown that's being thrown on the line here, basically. For some reason, that minus 13.5, that sounds, for some reason, it's kind of making sense to me. It's like worth $100. I'll wing it.
All right. I think I got to figure out where this is, and we're going to do some aggressive betting. Listener Bryce made fun of him for going to 7.5. It has metastasized into me throwing $100 at minus 15. Is there a minus 21? Can we get crazy? All right, Andrew Bogus, great stuff as always at Andrew Bogus on Twitter. Ooh, Arnold Bogus, Coach K's best friend. And based on what we heard from Coach K the other day, maybe his only friend. Let's do buy or sell next year on CBS Sports Radio.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, some big baseball news this weekend. We'll start with Nolan Arenado. As his era as a Rocky has ended, he was traded to the St. Louis Cardinals, believe it or not. The Rockies are also sending $50 million in cash along with the deal, and a prospect haul that has been called mediocre is going back to Colorado. Buy or sell, the move repositions the Cardinals as NL Central favorites.
How do they always do this?
Buy.
I don't know.
Do they have photos of everyone? Weren't they accused a few years ago of listening on phone calls or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, hacking into other teams, yeah.
Did they? Unbelievable. I mean, that it is highway robbery.
Yeah, so
I haven't looked. The Rockies don't have an owner who wants to move the team to Boca Raton and has hired a guy from the muffler company right? Like, this isn't major league all over again.
It's so strange because they offered him a contract extension, a good one, an 8-year extension that made him very briefly the highest per year paid player in the league. But then I think they've signed exactly one free agent since they offered him that extension. So, like, the whole deal was we're actually going to try now. And then, yeah, that didn't work out. Arenado has finished in the top 8 of NL MVP voting 5 times. He's made 5 All-Star Game appearances and is one of the best defensive third basemen who has ever lived. Yes, I will stand by that statement, evidenced by the fact that he's won a Gold Glove in every single year of his career so far. But as always, with any player coming out of Coors Field, he does have some doubters about his ability to continue his elite bat away from the Rockies. His 985 OPS at home versus 793 road split is one of the things that people point to. Buy or sell, you have any serious concerns about Arenado's transition away from the high altitude?
Not serious concerns.
Sell.
No. Look, we know numbers are inflated in Denver. That's a real thing. This guy is a Hall of Famer. I mean, this guy is an absolute star. He's going to an organization. They don't have the altitude. They do have the attitude and the culture that brings out the best in everybody, and they're going to be miserably great with this dude.
All right, so the MLB as a whole and the MLBPA are once again at odds, and we're over the weekend, this time over the length of this 2021 season, after Commissioner Rob Manfred sent a proposal over the weekend that would essentially shorten the season to 154 games while also pushing back the start of spring training by a month. Players have numerous concerns with this, including the fact that they've already begun their training, ramping up for a mid-February report date. Buy or sell, it makes any sense to delay the start of this season by a month?
I mean, I'll do a tentative buy in this sense.
Buy!
If Major League Baseball has some insight into a spike in cases and or, and probably more likely, projections that an extra month leads to a higher percentage or likelihood of full or semi-full ballparks, I understand the revenue aspect of it. I do. And my understanding of this, I mean, it's 154 games, but 162 days of pay for Major League Baseball players. It's just hard to give Major League Baseball the benefit. If this were the NBA or the NFL, I'd be all in because I figure they're good at what they're doing and they know what sort of the process they want to go through to make the decisions to maximize income and minimize damage in this very, very strange year. But it's Rob Manfred, so I'm real lukewarm in my confidence that this is properly run and thought out.
Ken Rosenthal has actually advanced the story since the show started. He said the players are likely to reject that proposal without even a counteroffer. Their claim is that it's too late to be negotiating the parameters of the 2021 season at this point. Buy or sell, it is too late to be negotiating the parameters of the season.
I mean, I'm going to go no. Just so, here's the only reason. Unions tend not to get along, especially these two, and they don't tend to communicate well. And it's a weird year, right? It's like I understand where information. And again, I don't have the info. I don't think anyone's reported it yet. But who knows if Major League Baseball got their hands on some reliable data that says, "Wow, we wait 4 weeks, we can have a free and clear." Because if you start the season 2 weeks before things get markedly better, it could increase the odds astronomically that they're spread in your sport, and that's the last thing that you want.
The other thing Ken Rosenthal broke this morning, Dustin Pedroia has officially retired. Buy or sell, Pedroia fits the top 3 Red Sox in the championship era?
The top 3?
Top 3.
He's right on that border, isn't he? I
was thinking about it a little this morning, yeah.
I mean, who would you put on that list? I think Schilling's on that list. I know
Yeah. Poppy and Pedro immediately come to mind.
I think
Varitek maybe.
I think it's a sell. I was thinking like 4 sell. Is the first thing that I thought. It's a great question. I mean, Manny, you know, for that.
Yeah, Ramirez.
For that run.
Probably ahead of him too.
I think Schilling, I don't even want him to be, but I think Schilling's on that list ahead of him just for what he did in the playoffs.
All right, let's talk Messi. We've been waiting the entire 2 hours just to get here. So the details of Lionel Messi's last contract leaked over the weekend. No matter how prepared you were, they are still staggering. According to El Mundo, Messi signed a 4-year, $673 million deal in 2017. That's right, 4 years, $673 American dollars. The paper also said that Messi's already collected on more than $600 million of that deal. It's long been speculated what a player like LeBron James or Patrick Mahomes would make in a truly open market scenario. Buy or sell, there is an American athlete that could demand upwards of $167 million for a season.
Absolutely.
Buy.
If basketball was a global sport in the way that soccer is, and it had the same economic realities, right? It was structured the same way, I think LeBron James would make $200 million a year. Like, the value they bring. And let me say this, too, about Messi's deal. It's an amazing deal. He's obviously incredibly wealthy. But the taxes he's going to pay in Spain are right around 50%. Whereas LeBron James, making the money he makes, living, he lives in California. But let's say that LeBron James lived in Texas. Like, you know, LeBron would pay 35%. So it's a ton of money. But the take-home gets you a little bit closer, more in the range of maybe a $300 million deal or a $350 million deal compared to an athlete who lives in a place like Texas or Florida, which we've seen before over the course, not of 4 years. But anyway, to answer your question, yes, absolutely. On the open market, I can't even imagine the money LeBron would command.
Fun, wouldn't it? Just a full free agency with no cap on it for LeBron James. That'd be wild.
It might be, especially if you could market LeBron the way that they do Messi at Barcelona, because they have international sponsors. I don't know of. You don't have Japanese Airlines just like beating down doors to try and get Lakers spot. You just don't. Or the Emirates trying to just throw money at the Lakers. But if you did, I mean, forget that. Even in this market, in the open market, the way that it is, right, in American sports, somebody would pay him $100 million a year. He's worth every dollar.
That I don't disagree with at all.
And that's what Messi makes, basically, with all of his bonuses. You know, $100 million a year and give him a 49% stake in the team, which would be worth $1 billion the moment LeBron is a part of that team. All right, that's a show. Happy Super Bowl week. We got a lot more lined up for you this week. At some point, Trez Paylor will be on the show. We'll have Will Brinson. We'll see whether or not I try to tease the Chiefs to minus 21. If I just lost my mind, it all continues tomorrow here on the show. I'm Bill Ryder. Thanks for being with us on CBS Sports Radio.